Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and we shall read again at verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 55, reading from verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The Lord Jesus, on one occasion, was traveling from Judea to Galilee, and he became weary in his journey. Yes, the Lord Jesus had a human nature and all the common infirmities of human nature, and he was fatigued. And so, in Sychar, that city of Samaria, he sat down on the side of the well. His disciples went into the city to buy food. Then a woman of Samaria came to Jesus, came to the well where Jesus was. And she was coming to draw water. The Lord Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink. Give me a drink." This surprised the woman, because she was a Samaritan and the Lord Jesus was a Jew. And the Jews and Samaritans didn't have any dealings one with another. They weren't supposed to. She said, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" The Lord Jesus said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The gift of God. If thou knewest the gift of God. Friend, do you know the gift of God? Not do you know about the gift of God, but do you know the gift of God? Do you know him who is the gift of God? Do you not know the gift of God? Do you not know him? Well, pay attention. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Attention, everyone. Yes, you thirsting, so longing for satisfaction, but just can't seem to find it. Here is the gift of God. Here is what will satisfy you. Stop listening to the world. Satan, the god of this world, is lying to you. But the gift of God is what God is offering to you, and he is true to his word. The Lord Jesus is the living bread which came down from heaven. And you are to come and take what will satisfy you. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, God says to you. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Here is security. Here are the benefits of the covenant of grace. The Word of God is certain. It is a covenant. It is an arrangement which is altogether secure. And all through him who is the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you were in Palestine long ago, you might have heard someone announcing to everyone passing by that he has water, wine, bread, milk for sale. In a similar way, life and salvation by Jesus Christ are offered to you, only they are not for sale. They are absolutely free. The blessings of salvation, life and salvation by Jesus Christ are absolutely free. Only come and receive. Buy without money and without price. Procure for yourself. Take what is freely given. Come to Christ and He will make an everlasting covenant with you. And you will receive the sure mercies of David, security, mercy, life, and salvation by Jesus Christ. Is this not what you need? You know you need something. You're longing for inward satisfaction. But friend, what you need ultimately is salvation. And with the Lord's help, let us first of all consider the condition of the sinner. What kind of condition do you have? Well, it is the condition of every one of us by nature, the condition of the sinner, thirsting or desiring, toiling, deceived, and in danger. In the second place, let us think about the covenant of grace. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What is a covenant? It's a contract, and a mutual agreement, a covenant. Husband and wife enter into a covenant when they marry each other. Well, here is a covenant, and God promises to make a covenant with you. Only come and receive what is given. The covenant of grace. And in the third place, the call of the gospel. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? God has what will satisfy you. Come. He calls everyone, look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. The call of the gospel. So these three things before us this morning: the condition of the sinner, the covenant of grace, and the call of the gospel with the Lord's help. First of all, the condition of the sinner. And we read in verse 2, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Here are those who are pursuing something that will not give them satisfaction. They are deceived. But we notice, first of all, that they are thirsting. And that includes all of us, thirsting. Not for literal water, not something that will literally quench the thirst, but something that will quench our desire for satisfaction. Here is a general desire of mankind. Every one of us has a sense of insufficiency. A sense of insufficiency. There's a void within. We know that. We know that we're missing something. And so there's also a desire to have that insufficiency supplied. We desire to have that need that we feel met. We are looking for completeness. We know that we are not self-sufficient. We have to look outside of ourselves to get what we need to fill the void within. So there is a sense of insufficiency and a desire to have that insufficiency supplied. What is it exactly that you, friend, desire, and that all of us desire? It is happiness or satisfaction. Happiness. And it is, as we've said before, impossible to desire misery. We rightly desire happiness. In fact, it's impossible to love misery, because the very notion of misery is to be in a nature, or rather to be in a state, in a condition that our nature abhors. The very notion of misery is to be in a state that our nature abhors. That's what misery is, to be in a condition that we hate. So how can we love misery? We would love what we do not love, which is a contradiction. So we rightly, legitimately desire happiness. But desiring happiness, we also desire the means of obtaining it. If you want to be at the end of your journey, you desire to be in the right way. So there's a desire for happiness and a desire of the right avenue to arrive at it. So here is a general desire of mankind, thirsting after happiness, longing for something, longing for satisfaction. And therefore there's this general pursuit of happiness. And men and women are toiling, laboring, spending their time and their talents, their energy, their thought, their concentration, after things they think will satisfy them. And politicians will rise up early, stay up late, make their phone calls to gain support, to try to win the election, thinking to gratify their self-esteem, to get happiness. The husband or the breadwinner will work hard, saving up money, looking forward to the two-week holiday when their family can go on vacation, and they think, as a family, they will be happy then. The student works hard in his education, his or her education, looking forward to a good job, a stable income, a beautiful house, and so on, and then they will arrive at happiness. There are some who seek happiness by religion. And of course, in Christ is where we obtain real happiness. But what I mean is, they look to themselves and their own good works to obtain salvation. They are toiling in trying to obey the law, thinking that if they keep the Ten Commandments or some prescribed set of rules, they will arrive at salvation. But not only is the sinner desiring, not only is the sinner toiling and laboring and striving hard after what he or she feels will satisfy, the sinner is also deceived. Here is the question, verse 2. Wherefore? Why? Why do ye spend money for that which is not bread? You think that it will satisfy you. You think it will quench your hunger, metaphorical hunger. But it won't. It's not bread. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor, your striving, your working hard for that which satisfieth not. It doesn't satisfy. You will not arrive at happiness through these means. Working hard after the applause of men, or to have an extended vacation and go to some faraway place and be happy then, you're deceived. Why do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? When the Lord Jesus spoke to the woman of Samaria, he was telling her about her condition. That's what we're thinking about right now, the condition of the sinner, thirsting or desiring, toiling and deceived. Well, this poor woman must have known something about the futility of seeking happiness in the things of this world, because the Savior told her, you have had five husbands. The woman had five husbands, and the one that she was with at that particular time was not her husband. She was living in sin. The one that she had at that time was not her husband. And the Lord Jesus was pointing to her sin. And he told her that if you drink of this well, you will thirst again. That is, if we seek our happiness in the things of this life only, we will have to come back again and again as if we had never found any gratification at all. And at the same time, these outward things of this life cannot reach the deeper needs of our souls. So the sinner is deceived. The things of this life satisfy not. But not only is the sinner desiring, toiling, and deceived, the sinner is also in danger. In verse 3, we have this command, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And the implication is that if you do not, you will die. So the sinner is in danger. Pursue happiness and try to arrive at happiness through the things of this world, and you will find yourself falling into the depths of eternal misery. The sinner feels that these things will satisfy. Yes, you find pleasure in it, but what is the benefit? The pleasures of sin are for a season, they are for a short period, and they will end in eternal ruin. It is the broad way that leads to destruction. You may feel that you're reaping benefit from these outward things, and you find sometimes liberty, you can try this out and that out. But there is a limit. But not only so, if you seek your happiness in the things of this life, you will find that the wages of sin is death. Have you learned anything yet about profit and loss? I'm no accountant, but the Word of God tells us clearly that if we give ourselves up to these things, we will receive the reward of unrighteousness. We receive a currency of a different kind. Give our energy and our time spending money, maybe literal money, after the things of this world and this life, and we receive utter loss. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will these outward things, these pleasures, sinful pleasures, even lawful pleasures, if you indulge yourself as if it were the ultimate end, what will they do for you on the judgment day? What will the dainties of this world do for you when you are ushered from the throne of judgment into the gates of hell, and you are sinking below the depths, in the depths of the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death? It is utter loss. Wherefore? Why? Why will you die? Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Listen to me. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. We are still on the ground of mercy. Yet there is hope. Yet there is room. There is still a gospel table. And laid out on the table is a wonderful provision. Come then, come, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And let us go on then, in the second place, to consider the covenant of grace. We've noticed the condition of the sinner, desiring, toiling, deceived, and in danger. How thankful we should be that there is a covenant of grace, and that life and salvation by Jesus Christ is offered to every one of us without money and without price. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Well, here we have a covenant. As we've said already, a covenant is a contract. Men and women, when they are lawfully married, enter into a covenant. They have mutual duties to perform. Well, here is a covenant or arrangement that God Himself from all eternity has ordained. Well, there was another covenant, and it was called the covenant of works. And it was made with Adam, our first covenant head, the head and representative of all mankind, that is, everyone descending from him by ordinary generation. And God promised life to Adam on the condition that he would obey him, that Adam would obey God, the reward would be life. There was a penalty. If Adam failed and he disobeyed God, then he would die. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam sinned against God and incurred the penalty. And he died spiritually. And as a result of the first fall, there is death. There is temporal death, spiritual death, and eternal death. So man has fallen because Adam did not stand for himself alone. As we said, he represented the whole human race, the Lord Jesus alone excepted. He represented the whole human race. As the Shorter Catechism says, the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, for his descendants, all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. So man fell into a state of sin and misery. Man, by nature, is in danger. But did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? No. God did not leave all mankind to perish, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As our Shorter Catechism says, God having out of his mere good pleasure from all eternity elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace. God entered into a covenant. God entered into a covenant not of works, but of grace. And he would do so in order to deliver them out of the estate of sin and misery. He would deliver his elect out of the state of sin and misery, to bring them into a state of salvation by a Redeemer. So God covenanted. He entered into a covenant to deliver his people from this state of sin and misery, from the state of condemnation, to deliver them from it, and to bring them into a state, a condition of salvation. And is that not what we have here in this part of God's Word? Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come to Christ, and the covenant will be made with you. You will receive all the blessings of the covenant of grace, life and salvation by Jesus Christ. Only come to him and receive. Now you may think that faith is the condition of the covenant of grace. If you believe, you will receive life and salvation by Jesus Christ. If you believe, you will receive. And in a certain sense, it can be looked at that way. But is faith really, properly speaking, the condition of the covenant of grace? Well, if we consider that faith itself is the gift of God, Not only does God give life and salvation by Jesus Christ, but He also gives the gift of faith, whereby we receive salvation. So faith is an instrument of receiving the benefits, and that faith itself is the gift of God. Is it really, properly speaking, the condition of the covenant of grace? Can faith merit salvation? Can we earn salvation by believing? When faith, by definition, is a simple reception? No. Faith is only the instrument. We hold out our hand to receive the gift. We didn't earn the gift by receiving it in our hand. If it's put in our hand, did we earn the gift because we held out our hand and received it? No. Faith is only the instrument whereby we receive the blessings of the covenant of grace. The real and proper condition of the covenant of grace is the righteousness of Christ. Let us think about the eternal covenant between the Father and the Son. The covenant of grace. The larger catechism says, with whom was the covenant of grace made? The covenant of grace was made with Christ, as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. The covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. Now, let us remind ourselves what a covenant is, a contract, a mutual agreement. Let us say I make a proposal. Very simply and basically, I will do something for you if you will do something for me. I will do something for you if you do something for me. I will give you a gift if you perform a particular work. Well, we are, and if you agree to this, if you agree, then we have a contract, an agreement, a covenant. Now, if we apply that to the eternal covenant between the Father and the Son, we would do so realizing that all we have to make use of is human language, and these things in themselves are incomprehensible and are far above our ability to grasp. But they are revealed, and so we attempt by the Holy Spirit to try to understand these things that are revealed. There is a covenant between the Father and the Son, and from that covenant proceed and flow, and all the blessings of salvation flow from this covenant. Now, what is it that the Father assigned to his Son? What is it that the Father promised to his Son on the condition that his Son would do this particular work? Well, let us think about the purpose of God. From all eternity, God elected some of mankind to everlasting life. From all eternity, before the foundation of the world was laid, God elected some of mankind to everlasting life. He chose them, a certain number of individuals. Out of the mass of fallen mankind, He elected them to salvation. And He gave them to His Son. Here is the Father's donation, the Father's gift to His Son. He chose this people from all eternity, and He gave them to His Son. They are enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their names are written in heaven. They belong to Christ by donation. As well, the Father assigned to His Son a particular work to do. And it was the work of redemption, the work of saving that people whom He gave to His Son. The Lord Jesus was assigned the work of saving this people that the Father gave to His Son. That was the condition of the covenant of grace, the righteousness of Christ. The condition was the work assigned to Him involving the Lord Jesus becoming man and obedience to the law and suffering the wrath of God. This is the condition of the covenant. Here's what the Lord Jesus would do in order to receive the gift, the reward. What is the reward of the Father? What would the Father do for the Son? He would give life to that people. The Father would ensure that His people would be saved. He promised life to His Son and the life and salvation of His people. And the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, consented to this work. Here is a mutual agreement, a covenant between the Father and the Son. The Father gives to His Son this people, assigns Him the work of saving this people, obeying and suffering for them, and the Son consents, and so He receives the reward of life and salvation. Let us think just for a moment about this work assigned to the Son. Here is the condition of the covenant of grace. The blessings of salvation come to you and me on the condition that Christ would do this work. He assumed a human nature. The Son of God became man. The Son of God became man, taking to Himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. The two natures, divine nature, God, and the human nature, man, God and man, united in one person forever. God manifest in the flesh. And the Lord Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the living bread which came down from heaven. He provides life for the world by becoming man, by giving Himself over to the work that God the Father appointed Him to do, a work that included not only the assumption of human nature, but also to obey the law. What a simple thought. This is not a theological class. The Lord Jesus obeyed the law, the Ten Commandments. Have you broken the Ten Commandments? If you have broken just one of them, you deserve the penalty of everlasting punishment. The Lord Jesus kept the commandments. He obeyed the law perfectly. And in that way, He worked out a righteousness, a complete righteousness, which is given to those who believe. But our point is, He obeyed the law in fulfillment of the condition of the covenant. God the Father assigned the work to His Son, and that included obeying the law. And thirdly, the Lord Jesus suffered the wrath of God. Every sin, every failure in regard to morality deserves everlasting punishment. And how will you escape, friend, eternal punishment? You know your conscience tells you that you have sinned. The wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus suffered the wrath of God. He endured most grievous torments immediately in His soul and most painful sufferings in His body. He was pierced by the crown of thorns. He was scourged. He gave His body to be broken, His blood to be shed. They pierced His hands and His feet when they nailed Him to the cross. But the greatest suffering He experienced was that which He experienced in His soul. He poured out His soul unto death. Here is our only hope. The One who became man, who obeyed the law, and who suffered the wrath of God. Here is the life and salvation that is offered to you, your only hope of acceptance with God. When the Lord Jesus became man, obeyed the law, and suffered the wrath of God, He was performing the work assigned to him by the Father. He was fulfilling the condition of this covenant. The Father promised a reward on the condition that Christ would do this work, obey and suffer. This is what we have in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And let us think about those words just for a moment. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. They can be translated according to the margin. When his soul shall place an offering for sin. In other words, the Lord Jesus would offer himself a sacrifice for the sin of his people. That was the work given him to do. When his soul shall place an offering for sin, what follows that? What is the consequence? It is the reward. The reward given to him by the Father on the condition that Christ finished the work given him to do. Here is the reward. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He would live. His days would be prolonged. He would be risen from the dead. He would ascend into heaven. He would sit at the right hand of God, and he would see his seed. That is, he would have his children, the people that were given to him by the Father from all eternity as a gift to his Son. He would see his seed. He would have them. Their life and salvation would be secure because Christ poured out his soul into death. Therefore, he would see his seed, he would prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in his hand. And because Christ died, therefore the life and salvation of his people is secure. He performed the condition of the covenant of grace. He finished the work assigned to him by God the Father. And because of that, life and salvation are offered to you and me. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come to Christ, and this covenant made with the Son will also be made with you, you in him. Because the covenant of grace was made with Christ as the second Adam, and in him with all the elect as his seed. How am I elect? How will I know if I'm ever elect, you're asking? You won't know until you come to him. Come to Christ and you will know that you're elect. Come to Christ and this covenant will be made with you, you in Christ. And now, the waters of salvation are offered to you and me freely, without money and without price. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye by and eat. Come by wine and milk, without money and without price. The waters of salvation are flowing in your direction. Come and receive. Receive the waters. Quench your thirsting soul. Here is the waters of salvation. Everlasting life. If you come to Christ, you will pass from death unto life. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You will be justified freely. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be accepted with God. No longer will God count you an enemy by wicked works. No longer will he be angry with you, because he is angry with the wicked every day. But let the wicked forsake his way. Come to Christ, and you will be brought into fellowship with Christ. Your sins will be blotted out. You will be accepted with God. You will have everlasting life. You will have spiritual life. The waters of salvation are flowing toward you. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters of spiritual life. The Lord Jesus told the woman at the well, if you drink of this water, you will thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well or a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The Holy Spirit will dwell in you. You will have life in your soul. No longer will you be serving sin. You will still feel the old man within, but by grace you will conquer the old man, put off the old man, and live unto righteousness more and more. Christ will be your Lord and Master, and you will love to have it so. You will be a willing disciple, loving to serve Christ, because his commandments are not grievous. Ask the children of God today, do you find the yoke of Christ to be irksome? They will say absolutely not. It is my own sinful nature that keeps me low. I wish I could be rid of it. But the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and I desire to experience more and more of the influences of the Holy Spirit. This is the waters of salvation that are offered to you and me both. And the child of God loves to have it so. He or she wishes to be rid of sin more and more, and live more and more unto righteousness, serving the Lord Jesus from the heart. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, says the Apostle Paul, though I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. But I do delight in the law of God. And this is the waters of salvation that are offered to you, friend. Spiritual life. Come to the waters. And what else is there? Not only salvation, but sustenance. There is support and strength. Come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Milk is nourishing, it's wholesome. There, no longer are we to pursue that which is not bread. We are to take to ourselves the bread of life that we might be nourished and strengthened in our souls. The Lord Jesus said, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. There is life by his death. He gave his body and blood as a sacrifice for sinners, that sinners might have life in their souls and strength to serve the Lord, to go on in the ways of the Lord. Here is nourishment, spiritual nourishment, offered to you and me freely. And there is also satisfaction. And that's what we have with the word wine. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. There is delight in the Lord. As the church says in Song of Solomon chapter 2, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. There is delight in the Lord. There is satisfaction. There is a fullness. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. There is a fullness of joy in the Lord. You're longing for happiness. Here's where happiness is to be found. In Christ, a man will not find rest until he finds rest in God. So there is salvation, there is sustenance, there is satisfaction. Here are the blessings of the covenant of grace. What else can we say about them? They are free, they are faithful, and they are forever. They are free. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. You are not to bring a price in your hand, some sort of payment, in order to expect the blessings of salvation and the benefits of the covenant of grace. Buy without money, without price. It simply means take for yourselves freely. God gives them to you as an act of grace. Not by works. But why does it say by? Perhaps there is this involved, and that is that there was some cost involved. And that is the Lord Jesus paid the price himself by his own precious blood. Remember the condition of the covenant of grace, the righteousness of Christ. This is a legitimate transaction. The Lord forgives sin and gives the blessings of grace not by hushing up the fact that you deserve wrath and winking at it, overlooking it. No. The blessings that are offered to you freely cost the Lord Jesus his precious blood. They are free to you, but what price to him? These are the blessings that are free, and they are faithful. We read, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. They are sure, they are certain, faithful. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5, David there says, he, that is God, hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. God made a covenant with David, ordered in all things and sure. And David is there referring to the time that God promised David that he would have a seed on his throne forever and ever. One of his children would always be on the throne forever. And of course, this is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a descendant of David, and he is the King of Kings, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So God promised that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come through the line of David. This was a promise, a covenant. And David is saying that this covenant is ordered in all things and sure. There were mercies promised to David, and they were sure to David. The sure mercies of David. And friend, if they are sure to him, they are sure to us. If the mercies were certain to David, then the mercy that is promised to us in the covenant of grace are sure to us. They are certain. If you come to Christ, you will certainly be justified. You will certainly be adopted and glorified in the family of God. They are constant. It's like, I think a woman from Africa said that the waves of the sea reminded her of the mercy of God. The mercy of God continually coming to her, just as the waves of the sea were constantly coming in her direction, stretching out as far as the eye could see, but constantly, constantly the waves were coming toward her. And so the mercy of God, which is in the divine being, in the heart of God, we may say, constantly coming to his people. They are sure, the sure mercies of David, and they are secure. The Lord Jesus says, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. So these blessings of the covenant of grace, they are free, they are faithful, and they are forever. It is an everlasting covenant. The Lord Jesus will give his people grace to endure to the very end, when they will no longer be in this world, but in the eternal world, when they will enjoy the face of God, see the face of God forever and ever, in light and glory, and be made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. As we have in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. They are forever. And are you not saying, friend, this is all my salvation and all my desire? Are you not saying that? Have you still not had your appetite whetted to expect these blessings and to yearn after them? Are you still longing for satisfaction in the things of this world? Why? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and let us go on to consider in the third place, finally, the call of the gospel. The call of the gospel to everyone. The first thing we notice is the word ho, or a
attention. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Pay attention. Listen carefully. Don't come to the house of God and daydream. Here is what is good for your soul, what you need for years to come and for eternity itself. Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's the first thing we need to consider is the word ho. Pay attention. And then secondly, we have the words hearken and hear. And that is listen carefully. We have to pay close attention to what God is telling us in His Word. Incline your ear. That means to stretch or incline the ears so as to set them to this extent that they hear only what is being spoken by the one who utters the command. Incline your ear. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to your worldly friends. You don't have to be as serious as that, they're telling you. Satan is saying, oh, you will never make it to the end. The way of Christianity is just too difficult. Don't listen to him. Incline your ear unto me. Herein your soul shall live. Are we being affected by what God is telling us in his word? Then we must listen further to the provision of the gospel. Through whom they come, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, do we give our assent? Do we believe these things are true? Or do you feel that it's still make-believe? Does not the Word of God speak for itself? Is there not evidence and power in His Word? Will you not assent to the truth of the promise of the Gospel, the reality of these things? And hear. That's what we have. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear. Now the word hear in the Word of God very often means obey. To hear God's Word is to obey His command. Hear and your soul shall live. So then, what is God telling us? He is telling us to come. Come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Salvation is offered to you, life and salvation by Jesus Christ is offered to you freely. But you must come and receive. If you were at the supermarket and there was a basket of fruit on the stand and the sign over it said free, you know that it's yours in the offer. But until you actually come to the stand, pick it up with your hand and take it away with you, it remains the property of the supermarket. Life and salvation are offered to you. It is yours in the offer. But you can't leave it like that. You must come, partake of it, receive. Is there a desire in your heart for these blessings? Is there any willingness to accept life and salvation by Jesus Christ? Come. Buy. Buy and eat, it says. What do we gather from that? It means, again, no price in your hand. Do not think that you can bring some good works and tell the Lord that I have kept the Ten Commandments. I have kept all these things from my youth up. No price. Don't rely upon yourself. You cannot bring your own resolutions to God as a form of payment. Because I have prayed so many times and I've had this good resolve and I've tried to be kind to my neighbor, therefore I can expect that God will favor me. Not at all. Come without money and without price. Rely on Christ alone. Nothing of your own. On Christ alone for salvation. He has done everything. The work is His and it's a completed work. He assumed a human nature. He obeyed the law. He suffered the wrath of God. Are these not things that you and I need? I have failed to keep the commandments. I deserve the wrath of God. Here is a Savior. He has kept the commandments. He suffered God's wrath. It is a work that is completed. It is to be relied upon without anything that you can do of yourself. No price. No good works. No good resolutions. Come empty-handed. and receive the free gift of life and salvation by Jesus Christ. And it says, eat. The provision is laid out on the table. Come and die. Take what is freely given. Life, salvation by Christ. When you woke up this morning, most of you anyway would have had breakfast and relied upon that meal for strength to come to church and hear God's word. You were nourished. You depended upon that for some sustenance for the day. Christ is offered to you freely. Come and eat. Receive Christ. Just as you depend upon your food for nourishment, depend upon Christ for salvation. You rely upon these outward means for sustenance and strength. Rely upon Christ for salvation, life and salvation, deliverance from eternal misery. In other words, receive Christ. Rest on Him alone. Salvation. You have no other hope. Nothing else will do. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Come then, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And you will be satisfied. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. What are you missing, friend? The devil is saying, what are you missing? These strict Christians, they're missing so much of the world. No, friend. Until you come to Christ, you are missing something. You're missing real life. You are missing happiness in Him. Come to Him, and He will fill you with Himself, with all the fullness of the love of God. And nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It is freely given. Do not reject what is freely given. Think of a student who had set off to at a university to get a degree, and his parents offered to pay the tuition, give him a home to live in, and pay all the bills and so on. And then the student, the child of these parents, said no, and decides to live a homeless life of bankruptcy. What an offense to the parents. To give up all that and go homeless. Well, that is what we do when we reject the free offer, life, salvation by Jesus Christ. Everything is offered. Fullness, satisfaction, even faith itself. You have nothing, you say. The gift of God is faith itself. Everything you need is in Him. You have nothing at all. The willingness to come, that's of Him. Come to Him for everything. Trust in Him for everything. He has all. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you give yourselves up to those things that will never satisfy you? Ultimately, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. May He bless His word. Let us pray. O Lord, enable us to benefit from Thy word. Grant Thy Holy Spirit. Leave us not to our natural blindness. Open our eyes to see the gospel provision. Open the mouths of our souls that we might be filled with the plenteous provision, life and salvation by Jesus Christ. Be gracious to us and pardon our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 4. Psalm 4 from verse 6. Oh, who will show us any good is that which many say. But of Thy countenance the light, Lord, lift on us alway.
Upon my heart bestowed by thee, more gladness I have found than they, even then, when corn and wine did most with them abound. I will both lay me down in peace, and quiet sleep will take, because thou only, me to dwell in safety, Lord, dost make. We will sing these three stanzas to God's praise. Psalm 4, from verse 6. O who will show us any good?
O who will show us any good? Is that which men seek but of thy countenance the light? Lord,
Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. The services next Sabbath at the usual times, 11 and 6. And the Reverend Rayner has agreed to officiate during the communion season in this place. And the communion is on the first Sabbath of June and commences on Thursday, the 31st of this month. All the Lord willing, let us conclude. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.